The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
Sports and sports and sports. Sports in your face. Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
The payoff pitch. He struck him out. 97 right down the chute. And the Red Sox win again. 5-2 the final. They go into the All-Star break with a record of 68-30. Remarkable stuff. And it's the first time the Red Sox go into the break with the best record in Major League Baseball since 2007.
And good afternoon. Welcome into, a Felger and Maz program. Absent Felger. Absent Maz, absent Jim Murray, absent a co-host at present.
Mm-hmm.
We are absent a lot of things, but I'm here, Marshall Hook, along with Matt McCarthy. Apparently, some people, time is a bit of a, I don't know, a not important thing, a flexible thing. I'm going to do this on my own time thing. And Michael Felger, who is supposed to be sitting in that chair right over there, as you can clearly see, it remains empty here in our glorious new studios in Dorchester, making their television debut. I could do an entire show doing nothing but talking to the dark chair over there in the corner where Michael Felger, who at some point, he may be airborne right now. He's coming off parts unknown, an island. You can figure it out. And apparently hasn't touched down in the lovely city of Boston. But the good news is, and this is important, the good news is once he actually gets to Boston, there's going to be no problem with traffic getting from the airport to here.
We're much closer than we once were.
This is true. This is true. And I think the expressway, generally known to be wide open at any time of day.
Especially 2 o'clock.
I, in fact, commuted all the way from downtown Boston to here, which is a mile, a mile and a half. It only took 45 minutes. So it should be no problem, no problem whatsoever for Mike Felger to eventually show up and take his rightful spot over there in the dark corner. Meanwhile, you're going to get me and you're going to get Matt McCarthy. And you know what? We're two baseball guys. It's the All-Star break. It is the not mathematical but unofficial end of the first half of baseball. So we'll start where we plan to start, even with Michael here, which is discussing, how do we feel about this Red Sox team? How do you feel about where we are now versus where you thought you were going to be at the beginning of the year? I'm willing to go out on a limb here and say that there is nobody, nobody out there, not even Dave Dombrowski or Alex Cora themselves, who said, you know, going into spring training or even at the start of the season that, you know what I think is going to happen? Here's what I think is going to happen. I think the Red Sox are going to play at a record-setting pace. They're going to enter the All-Star break far and away with the best win record in baseball. This is what's going to happen. I don't think there's anyone out there. Now, there are certainly those of us, or really those of you, who felt better about the team than, say, a guy like me did. I didn't believe in this team at all. We can get into the mea culpas. It probably starts and ends with J.D. Martinez, a guy that I wasn't interested in, didn't think much of, thought he's one of those guys who goes out and puts up big numbers before his free agent contract comes due and then would get the money and then not do anything. And I couldn't have been more wrong about that. I have admitted that time and again, and I'm going to, I think, admit it for many months, if not years to come. But the rest of the team is doing really well as well. I don't know that they've quite yet caught the full attention of the fandom, but I know, for instance, Matt McCarthy, you're feeling a little bit more warm about this team than you were, say, even a week ago.
Yeah, I feel like Boston kind of embraced the Red Sox a little bit over the weekend. There just kind of seemed to be a shift, and maybe it started with the Mookie Betts Grand Slam on Thursday, but everywhere I went on Saturday, Marshall, and this is entirely anecdotal, people were talking about the Red Sox. Three people came up to me at dinner Saturday night. I was wearing a Red Sox shirt. Hey, did you see the game today? You see that Bogarts grand slam? And it's been a little while since I've got that sense. I felt like over the weekend, people kind of bought in on the Red Sox just a little bit. Maybe it's because we've had a lot going on. We had a busy Celtics offseason, NHL offseason starting up at the beginning of July. Obviously, a lot of Patriots stuff this offseason as well. But I feel like finally, people are starting to come around and say, you know what? This Red Sox team is pretty damn good. I don't know what they're going to do in the playoffs, but I'm in for the rest of the regular season. I feel like there was a bit of a shift in this town this weekend.
I don't disagree that they definitely had the attention of the fandom this weekend. By the way, the phone number, as you always know, despite the fact that we're in these beautiful new studios, and just take a moment, how beautiful are these studios?
Amazing. Dennis Knudsen and his team did a phenomenal job with this.
You know, just before I went on yesterday, Dennis actually came through and wiped everything down one more time before we made our soft open radio only yesterday. So everything is like literally shiny. I'm a little bit worried. I left some fingerprints on that right there. So
Zoe will have this place ruined by about 10:10 tomorrow morning.
Yeah, he tried to ruin it from afar today, but was was mostly unsuccessful. So I don't disagree with you that they had the attention this weekend, but I would also put forth that, honest to God, what else was their competition? All due respect to the World Cup, a huge event on the world stage. I still don't think that gets a lot of eyeballs, a lot of interest here locally. What, Wimbledon? A golf tournament? I mean, I think NBA free agency, while not technically over, Marcus Smart is still out there. I think the buzz around that is gone. You know, Kawhi Leonard's still wherever Kawhi Leonard is. San Antonio, you know, LeBron James is now a member of the Lakers. Like, that has died down a little bit. There are no big free agents or trade targets that the Bruins are connected to. That has died down. You know, training camp for the Patriots is coming up. So the Red Sox certainly had the opportunity to get eyeballs this weekend. They had, you know, effectively a captive audience. If you're a sports fan, what the hell else were you going to do this weekend? What the hell else were you going to pay attention to this weekend? There was almost literally nothing out there. All due respect to the New England Revolution, they played this weekend. They lost, so they didn't take advantage of those eyes. But the Red Sox had a captive audience. Now, they did great with it. We had terrific heroics, you know, a 10th inning game-winning grand slam, walk-off, beautiful thing from Xander Bogaerts, who then leads off the next game with a home run to give them the lead there. So they certainly came out and put on a great show this weekend when they had a captive audience. My question, though, is do we really think that they've captured it, or do you really think people just are paying a little bit more attention in the absence of almost literally anything else to watch this weekend?
Yeah, but shouldn't people be paying attention with nothing else going on? I mean, if the Red Sox were just kind of an average, mediocre team, do you think that they would have generated the buzz this weekend that they did? I mean, they're 68-30. Okay, so yeah, there was nothing else going on, although I think the World Cup did draw like a 7 or something on local TV ratings. So the World Cup did pretty well, but the Red Sox did really well this weekend too. And with that extra attention, they took advantage. They generated a little buzz. Let's see what it's like 3 weeks from now when the Patriots open up training camp. But I think all eyes are on the Red Sox right now, and they're proving that they're worthy of that attention.
Yeah,
we've dismissed them, Marshall. I mean, we have dismissed this team really from the beginning of the season until now. Why? Because we don't buy in on them as legitimate World Series contenders, or at least I don't, and a lot of people in this town don't, because of what we've seen from them in the playoffs the last two postseasons. But there's nothing they can do about that from now until then. All they can keep doing is just winning games, which is exactly what they've done. Let's see what they do in October. And listen, if they go to October and they, you know, essentially get swept again, sure, we'll come in here, we'll rip this team. But there's very little you can rip about this team right now. They are deserving of our attention.
They absolutely are, but they've been deserving of our attention pretty much from opening day. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have been winning consistently the entire time. And, you know, I understand that the beat writer, you know, protectorate, those guys out there who want to, you know, protect the wall for the Red Sox and tell us that everything is sunshine and rainbows all the time, have been telling us, oh, no, people, you know, this talk radio thing about how people aren't engaged, that's just not true. Look at these ratings. But I think we know something about ratings is there's putting the game on, having the game on. I mean, baseball is the perfect sport to have on and not watch.
Yes.
And there's a different thing about being truly engaged the way you're talking about people were this weekend, truly caring about the team, talking about the team, you know, paying attention to the team when they're not playing, you know, the classic water cooler, all of that. And I just haven't felt it. And maybe I live in some bubble where, you know, the rest of the world is out there constantly talking about the Red Sox, but I haven't gotten that. This is not the only place I work. I spend a lot of time out in the world, other places, and still to this day, when I go out and talk to people and they learn that I work here, they'll say, "So, what about Malcolm Butler? Why didn't Malcolm Butler play? Hey, you know, what about the Celtics?" And it's never, well, maybe not never, but almost never is it, "Hey, how about the Red Sox?" And so that is more my barometer. Obviously, if you and I took the temperature of the world based solely on the people who sit behind these microphones, well, it would all be doom and gloom. It would be horrible. Every team would suck. Everything is bad. It would be that everything is awesome song flipped around, you know, the opposite version of that. But that is not where I'm taking the temperature of this. It's out in talking to, you know, the parents of my kids' friends, the people I work with at other places, the people that I see and talk to in the community. That's where I'm getting this complete lack of interest in the Red Sox. Now, again, I think it's going to change, but they do have competition coming. When the New England Patriots begin training camp, and how many weeks away is that now?
Like 2.5, something like that?
It's coming. It's right around the bend. And when that happens, that is going to be a monumental challenge to keeping the interest of this fandom in this team going forward. Also, and this is part of what we're going to get to, we may have seen the best of this Red Sox because they are now dealing with some injuries to important places like the, you know, starting rotation with Eduardo Rodriguez going on there. Trade deadline is coming, so teams like the Yankees that you're directly competing with, they are likely to, more likely than you, to make a big impact move. You know, the Astros have assets that they can trade as well. So your competition that you've been playing ahead of in the standings are about to get better, and I don't know that you are. And that could, you know, put a hit out on this level of interest as well, I think.
Yeah, because you can't really get fired up about the trading deadline, because what are the Red Sox going to do? I mean, we have to be realistic that this is likely the team that we're going to see in October. They might go out and add somebody like Fernando Rodney or a small piece like that. But if the Yankees are going to go out and add, say, Cole Hamels or Jay Happ, or, you know, the Astros are going to go out and, you know, get some bullpen help, you know, elite level bullpen help like Brad Hand from San Diego, the Red Sox can't necessarily compete with that. This is likely the team that you'll see in October, and I think that's why people have been a little bit hesitant. Because, yes, they're 38 games over 500. They haven't done that since 1949. I mean, it's historically good what they've done, but their flaws are pretty obvious. Now, everybody else in the American League is flawed, too. Like, let's not sit here and pretend that the Yankees aren't flawed. I mean, they've got problems in their starting rotation, big problems, but they can maybe do something about it. Can the Red Sox do something about their flaws? That is one of the biggest questions we're going to have to answer over the next 3 weeks. And to me, Marshall, I don't know if they can. I do not know if they can answer those flaws.
617-779-0985. That is the phone number. This is Felger and Maz with neither Felger nor Maz, though we may see Mike at some point. Call in now, talking about the Red Sox here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Center field.
Get out of
way
here.
Back it carries. That ball is gone. The Red Sox walk it off in style.
That's how it's done.
The X-Man strikes. A terrific win for the Red Sox, coming from behind Xander Bogaerts with number 15.
How many slams is that for him? Three?
And for the Red Sox, nine.
Nine.
That wasn't the last game headed into the All-Star break, but the second to last, Xander Bogaerts' walk-off grand slam against the Toronto Blue Jays, who they ended up taking 2 out of 3 from headed into the All-Star break. This is Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. I am most definitively not Mike Felger. The empty chair next to me is taking his spot right now. As far as Maz and Jim Murray, they're down at the golf event today, so I've got Matt McCarthy alongside. We may or may not see from from Mike Felger. Already seen on Twitter the hashtag Where's Felger.
What's the over-under? Should set the over-under.
I'm not entirely clear. Listen, I'm sure he'll get here just as quickly as he can, because if I know nothing about Mike Felger, I'm pretty sure that he is less than thrilled that I am driving the ship with his name on it right now. So I'm sure he'll be here sooner rather than later. 617-779-0985. That's the phone number. We're doing a little review on the Red Sox headed into the All-Star break. And, you know, on the one hand, they go in great, right? They got the best record in all of baseball. They went in winning, you know, in dramatic fashion. In that case, that was a game on Saturday that they were down 2-1 headed into the ninth inning. They tie the score up in the bottom of the ninth, and then obviously Xander Bogaerts, after the Blue Jays decide to walk JD Martinez, who had a home run earlier in the game, so, you know, not a bad decision. But then they groove one to Xander, who's having a resurgent season. And again, the walk-off grand slam followed by the win yesterday. Everything's looking good on the one hand. But what else did they do yesterday but put Eduardo Rodriguez on the disabled list? This after, in that game on Saturday, he had a collision with a Toronto Blue Jay player at first base. Apparently has screwed up his ankle a little bit. One of the things about Eduardo Rodriguez that is most definitively concerning to me is he's not a guy that bounces back from injury really quick. And if the playoffs were beginning today, Eduardo Rodriguez would have been the guy that I would have slotted in. Not that I think the team would have done this, but I would have slotted him into that second spot to start right after Chris Sale. I got to tell you, there is a concern for me now on this rotation. We've got Chris Sale, who this afternoon has been named the starter for the American League squad in the All-Star game. He obviously, we know, he's doing great, a contender for the Cy Young. All is good with him. But after that, we now have concerns. Eduardo Rodriguez had been pitching very well. Now he's on the disabled list. Rick Porcello got off to a great start for the season. In his last four starts, I think he has an ERA north of 7. Then we get to David Price. I don't think we need to really detail our concerns with David Price. That seems pretty well covered ground here on the Felger and Mazz program. And then after that, you've got that just cavalcade of people who have filled the fifth spot, from Drew Pomeranz to Brian Johnson to Stephen Wright to, I'm sure, other guys that I can't think of. And so all of a sudden, for as good as we may feel about this team, who's starting game two?
Forget the playoffs at this point, Marshall, because your definitive advantage over the Yankees is your starting pitching. I mean, that's why you have a 4.5 game lead in the American League East. You got to get to the playoffs first. Who's starting game two? Let's see if you make the playoffs and you're not in that wild card game first and foremost. So if Eduardo Rodriguez is missing any significant period of time, which it looks like he probably will, all of a sudden that is a big concern for this Red Sox team, Marshall, because who are you going to start in his place? Velazquez? Johnson? Like, eventually that catches up to you. I don't think you can count on Stephen Wright. I don't think you can count on Drew Pomeranz to come back and give you something. Do they have to go out on the market and get a starting pitcher at the deadline? And if they do, which I would say, looking at the starting rotation, you probably would like to, chances are you can't. You probably cannot compete at the top of the starting pitching market with what you have in the farm system right now. So are you going to go out and get somebody like Doug Fister again? That's probably the option the Red Sox are going to have to go with if Rodriguez is going to miss any extended period of time. And I would bet you that he probably would, given his injury history.
And we've pretty well covered that the challenges for the Red Sox at this trade deadline are twofold. On the one hand, you know, Dave Dombrowski has traded away a lot of their prospects. I think it's a little overstated because I think we forget that, you know, Mookie Betts was a prospect, and he's now a contributor to the major league squad. Rafael Devers was a prospect. So we didn't completely gut the farm system. He took the players who didn't necessarily have a spot or a clear path to the major leagues, and he traded them. So they're all gone one way or another. They're either playing for the team or they're gone. So you don't have any of the top-level prospects to trade, because the other names you had down there, one of them is, what, on a multi-month PED suspension, and the other one
just got back, and he's sitting three for 20 right now in Portland.
All
Michael
right.
Chavis, get
there
excited.
We go. So he's back, and then what's his name? Buddy Groom? Johnny Groom?
Yeah, done for the year. Jay Groom.
He's out for the year. So That's the one problem, is you don't have the prospects to trade. Now, the flip side, the place that the Red Sox have typically in teams like them had strength at the trade deadline is their willingness to take on money. So if you go to some team that, you know, is rebuilding and they have a high price guy, you know, Cole Hamels for the Rangers, who isn't really pitching very well, but let's just go ahead and pretend for a moment that he were. He's a high price guy that the Red Sox in the past could have gone into and said, hey, listen, Rangers, we'll give you some whatever middling double A prospect, but we're going to pay his whole contract. So bring it on, give him to us. And that's what rich teams do. The problem being that we're pretty sure the Red Sox don't want to take on any money because they already have the highest payroll in baseball and they're whatever, $7 million within whatever that magic number is that bumps them up to a new level of luxury tax, which they're unwilling to pay. So you've got a combination of a team that doesn't have prospects to trade to get an impact player and is unwilling to take on the money, which is the other way to get an impact player. So they really are not going to be a player in this trade deadline unless something in there changes.
They're barely willing to take on money. The Steve Pierce deal, Toronto's eating about half of that. The Red Sox gave up Santiago Espinal, who's been one of their better prospects this year, to get Steve Pierce because they were unwilling to eat half of his salary. That is how much the Red Sox are cheaping out on the luxury tax right now. I know they don't want to, you know, go over 237. You've got a team that can win a World Series this year if you're willing to eat some money. Do it. You're the Boston Red Sox. Money should never, ever be a problem for this franchise. Unfortunately, Marshall, too often it is a problem for this franchise.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. I'll admit one of the biggest adventures of the new studio setup has been going to the phones.
Let's see how this works.
I am ready to give this a go with David in New Hampshire. David, welcome to the Felger and Mazz Show.
Here we go.
That's almost kind of what I expected.
Yep.
So there we go. All right. Well,
maybe it's just David.
It could
maybe
be
it's
David.
On him.
It could be David. I don't know. It was very silent, though. So you know what? I'm not going to venture into that adventure again right at this moment. We'll probably tap back. And I see a couple other guys on there. I'm willing to bet that in this next break, we might be able to figure. Because you know what? Frankly, it could be me. I'll bet you if Mike were
operator
sitting
over
in the seat, and again, we'll turn our lonely eyes to the empty seat at the end of the counter where Michael Felger should be sitting. He probably would have gotten that guy in the air, no problem. But as the
Twitterati
are always happy to let me know, I suck. So that's probably the reason why that guy didn't get on the air. So ultimately, as we look at this team and the Red Sox or the trade deadline, I don't know what they can do. For instance, and we'll kind of dive into this later on in the program. I know it was kind of on the schedule of things to talk about what it is, maybe not with names, but what position wise that you rank that this team needs. It's been relief pitching, relief pitching. That's what people have been talking about. We need a reliever. We need somebody who can pitch the eighth inning. We need somebody who can get it to Craig Kimbrell, who's doing a great job and whose name is not Joe Kelly, who's not. That's what it's been. But I got to tell you, with Eduardo Rodriguez going down, with Rick Porcello struggling of late, I have some really deep concerns about the starting rotation, and I just don't know what there is out there that they can get. I don't even know what the names are right now, other than somebody like Cole Hamels, who's a combination of expensive and not actually very good.
Hamels, Happ, Fulmer, who you're not going to be able to get. I mean, DeGrom and Syndergaard, who you're definitely not going to be able to get. It is unrealistic, Marshall, to expect the Red Sox to get anybody more than this year's version of Doug Fister at the deadline. That's what you're dealing
with. Doug Fister, who, by the way, was your best pitcher in the postseason last year, just, you know, for what it's
worth.
Yeah,
how many innings did he go? Like four innings?
Yeah.
So that's the problem. But
well,
how many
times? The Red Sox as an entire team only pitched about, you know, what, 16 innings.
So. Yeah, but how many times can you invest in the starting rotation? They've invested prospect capital in Chris Sale. They've invested $31 million in David Price. They've invested essentially John Lester in $20 million in Rick Porcello. They traded Andrew Miller for Eduardo Rodriguez. They have made so many investments in the starting rotation. They essentially go seven deep because Wright and Pomeranz are on the shelf. How many more times can you continue to go out and get a starting pitcher?
Well,
when you have few assets to begin with.
Hopefully when you get a second one that works. 617-779-0985. It's Felger and Mazz with neither of those fellas. Matt McCarthy's going to get you caught up on the headlines, and then we'll be back with more after this on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right.
Yep. Welcome back, Felger and Maz, from our beautiful new Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Sorry I'm late. Marshall Hook, Matt McCarthy doing a good job there for the first couple segments. Been sitting on a runway for the last 3.5 hours. And I think in previous existence, Hook, I'd lose my mind. Maybe I'm getting a little older, a little wiser. Nothing you can do about it. What are you going to do? Weather happens, fog happens, and so there you go.
You are coming off an island vacation,
yes.
So that probably helps a little bit.
Nantucket problems, we call them. What are you going to do? Fog comes in, fog goes out, planes don't take off. It's bad here, I guess, so whatever. But thanks for sitting through those first couple segments. Felger and Maz here on a Monday. Felger in the brand new A-hole chair at our Dorchester studios. Maz and Murray are at the company golf outing up in New Hampshire. I'm going to pick up right where you guys were talking about with the Red Sox, and we'll get to some phones here in a second. But the two things, and I heard you guys talking on the way in, and we talked about it pre-show. I want to give you two yeah buts with this Red Sox team, and you tell me how you feel about it, okay? Yeah but. One is an intangible, and one's a tangible. Here's a tangible one. Is the pitching starting to is anyone starting to question the pitching a little bit? Because I feel like in my mind's eye, they haven't really been pitching that well, yet they're still winning. You know, and that's just sort of in my mind's eye. Was it Porcello the other day, you know, got rocked? Now Eddie Rodriguez is hurt. And David Price, the last one was better, but, you know, not so good. But so, like, in my mind's eye, I was like, I don't feel like they've pitched very well. And Porcello, it wasn't just this last outing. It feels like Porcello hasn't been pitching well. And so, you know, just to back it up, because we want some facts here on the program, we decided to look it all up. Since July 1, and that's just, we don't want to pick a random date, right?
No.
Look, I mean, we don't want to just draw the line where it made him look bad.
No.
No, we wouldn't do that. We would actually take a real date, the start of a month, the start of a 10-day stretch, whatever it was. And so we just said generically, it just happened to be July 1, to be fair.
Yeah.
Not that we would ever try and draw a line to give you a negative sample or a positive one. But if you just go to July 1, 14 games, the starter's ERA is 4.5. Like, oh, that seems about right. They haven't been pitching well. Sale has, of course. But it doesn't feel like they've been pitching well and they're winning. Rick Porcello, in his last four, and here I am drawing a line where I want to, but it just feels like this last one he got totally killed. But even before then, I'm like, he's giving up runs. He's giving up home runs. Rick Porcello in his last four is 7.40 ERA. 7.40 ERA in his last this month, just since July 1, if you want to be consistent, 2-1 with a 7.80 ERA. And of course, this last one is going to skew that. But he's given up 6 home runs in his last 4 games. He's given up, and it isn't just this last one, which he gave up 8. He gave up 3, 2, 4 in his previous 3 before that. He's given up, what is that? That's like 11, 13, 19 runs in his last 20 innings. I mean, he's getting wrecked.
Yeah. And he's got 2 wins in that time, which is, I think, going to your point.
So this is what I'm saying about. Is this what I'm talking about? Fool's gold. Is that something that's going to catch up to him? And now with Rodriguez out, I mean, they're not going to blow their lead, right? I mean, they're not going to blow the lead. The league's not good enough. And they're just winning in spite of this. And so at some point I stopped and I said, well, they're not pitching very well. And so now David Price is locked down your number 2 guy. How do you feel about that? So how do you just feel about that? That's one yeah, but.
No, well, we and I discussed it a little bit. I don't like it at all. It's Chris Sale and everybody else. And Eduardo Rodriguez, prior to going on the disabled list, would have been my number 2 starter headed into the playoffs. He's the guy who's been most consistent throughout the season. He's the guy that, shockingly, given his reputation over the last few years, has my most trust. I trust him more than any other starter in that rotation other than Chris Sale. And now he's hurt.
And you're saying Rodriguez would have been your 2? Really would have opened up the playoffs with him at your 2.
And again, I fully acknowledge the Red Sox wouldn't have done that. But if I had any power, yes.
Okay, so you're
already. Eduardo Rodriguez would have been my number 2 starter in the playoffs.
But that shows you. That shows you that he was a big guy for them. And they have such a big lead. And, you know, I'm not worried about the playoffs or anything like that.
They only have a 3.5 game lead over the Yankees, though. That's not that big.
I mean, it's 4.5, isn't it?
All right, 4.5. 4.5. But that's still not that big, particularly given to our point earlier that the Yankees are going to go get somebody. They're going to make moves. I don't know that the Red Sox are.
I just think the pitching has been kind of, okay, crappy-ish. And some nights really crappy. Now one of their best guys is hurt. It's sort of like, I don't know.
And again, not a guy that bounces back from injury really fast, that Eduardo Rodriguez.
Right, exactly. Every time he gets hurt, it takes forever for him to come back. And it's always a bigger story and a longer story than it should be. So yes, yes, yes. And they're winning. And they win every night, no matter what. They win every night. Even despite this. So is that fool's gold? Number 1. Number 2, here's an intangible. I'll start with a question. Does this Red Sox team have that it factor?
Yeah, I don't feel it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
right
they
now they do. They have do. That it factor.
They definitely do, Hook. Okay. And we talked about this late last week. Everyone sort of agrees. They have something going on. Don't you feel it? Don't you feel the team has something going on?
Well, yes. To that degree, yes. But it is your fool's gold because I don't believe it'll last.
So I'll just let me. What does that really mean? Because I think we all agreed last week, you know, with the walk-offs and the Betts Grand Slam last week and then the, you know, Bogarts thing over the weekend, even before, you could feel something building. Team's got something going on. It has that it factor. Yes, it feels like this. They got something going on. No doubt about it. What does that mean? Ultimately, what does that mean? And you know what I couldn't help thinking of? Who else had the it factor this year?
The it factor?
Oh. The Bruins.
The Bruins. Yeah. Didn't we say the same thing during the course of the regular season? All those great wins, those comeback wins, those big scoring games. Wasn't there that thing building in the spring that they've got something going on? They've got that it factor. Everyone said it. Tons of people locally picked them to win the effing cup. Are you kidding me? Based on this thing of how does this team feel? There's got something going on, right?
Young players over their head, resurgent veterans.
What was it worth?
Nothing.
What was it when they ran up to a team that was clearly better than them? They got rubbed out, and that it factor, hey, you put an SH before it. It meant nothing, right? It meant absolutely nothing because the fatal flaws came up and the lack of secondary scoring or the goaltending or the problems on defense, whatever the case may be, those things then became what was important. And I don't care how much it factor you had going on. At the end of the day, it didn't matter. So what does this it factor, this momentum and this feeling that this team has, what does it really ultimately mean? Does it mean anything?
I don't think it does.
I think you're right, Hook. And I'm playing the role of Maz today, you know, of just poking holes in it for you. But I mean, really, that honestly occurred to me late last week when we were talking to Murray about this. And even Big Jim came around, you know, Mr. Asterisk himself. Like, yeah, they've got something going on. It's obviously they've got something going on. It's hard not to get swept up in it because they do have something going on. What does it mean in the seventh inning in the playoffs when Matt Barnes has to come out and then Joe Kelly has to come out and you haven't upgraded that position? What does it mean in games 2 and 3 of a playoff series where it's David Price and then what? Rick Porcello, who's now got almost 8 ERA in his last 4, or Eddie Rodriguez, who's hurt, and who knows what that means? So at the end of the day, what does that it factor mean? What does it mean? What's it good for? So those are my two yeah buts. So we will try. I hear the phones have been an adventure. But we'll try it. We'll get to your phones, I promise, in our long commercial-free segment next. Don't go anywhere.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're all loaded. High fly ball, deep into left center field.
Get out of
way
here.
Back it carries. Terrific win for the Red Sox coming from behind Xander Bogaerts with number 15.
How many slams is that for him? 3?
And for the Red Sox, 9.
9.
So there's that it factor, another walk-off grand slam home run. And it's like, it's just their kind of year. It's the kind of season it's been. Can't you feel it? This team's got something going on. I mean, I believe all that. Yes, I feel it like you all do. Maybe I'm just scarred by the Bruins. What does that mean? What does that mean? If you run up against a team that's ultimately better than you or your flaws are exposed, what does it ultimately mean? And that's just sort of that. I thought about it over the weekend as we all acknowledge that this Red Sox team has something going on. So those are just my few yeah buts. It's Felger and Maz with Marshall Hook and Matt McCarthy standing in for Maz and Jim Murray. Jimmy Stewart, let's go to the phones. All right, let's do line 2. Jay in Providence joins us next. His confidence in the Red Sox is what, Jay? Go ahead.
Yeah, but they keep winning.
Yes, and so do the Bruins. And so do the Bruins in the regular season.
Oh, my God. But listen, Felger, what I don't understand about this whole the thing about the Red Sox is I feel like sports is usually a what have you done for me lately type of thing. You know, if you went out and you won the championship last year and you're not doing it this year, then that's going to be well documented. But the Red Sox lately have been doing nothing but winning. And I just feel like the city, I don't know if it's the city or the media or this show specifically, cannot get behind the team. It's always the yeah, but always. So, I personally, I'm very proud of the team. I'm very proud of the team, and I'm impressed what they did over the weekend a lot.
Okay, Jay, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. You can drop them, Jimmy. The thing is, I mean, I'm not telling you that they're going to fall on their face in the postseason. That's Jim Murray, and that's Mass. Like, they still have them losing in the first round. I think you probably do,
well,
too.
Well, and I was going to say, and that's me. And
do you too, McCarthy?
I do. As much as great as they've been, I do.
But here's the thing.
Hold on, Jimmy Stewart. Are we allowed to talk to you in our new studios here?
Testing 1, 2, 3. Hello.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
How's everybody doing?
We're okay. We're good.
Okay. What do you have the Red Sox doing?
Oh, they're getting wiped out in the first round.
So everybody on this show has them losing in the first round.
But
everybody.
Here's the thing. I mean, to the caller's point, what have you done for me lately? You've had two really good regular seasons and then you got wiped out in the first round. And what this team is doing, you know, they're winning differently this year. They're doing it with offense, but what is the classic thing? What matters in the postseason in baseball? It's pitching. And is their pitching any difference? Where is their JD Martinez of the pitching staff? They don't have one. They've got the same guys. Now, I am more than happy to admit that I think Chris Sale will do fine in the postseason. I think it's unfair that he has gotten lumped in.
Agreed.
With David Price and these other guys. There are plenty of players. Baseball is filled in history with players who haven't done well, and all sports for that matter, in their first taste of postseason, right? And then they get that out of their system, and the next time around they do better. So I believe with the way that the team is handling Chris Sale and the fact that it'll be his second trip in there, he'll do fine. But the rest of the team, do we have any confidence in the rest of their starting pitching staff? David Price is still there.
You know,
there is a career award for postseason failure, it's the David Price Award. He doesn't only win it, it's named after him.
I'm trying to answer your question. Do I have confidence in anyone else? I still want to have it in Porcello. I do. I don't know why. He's been there. It feels like he's got an edge to him. It feels like the moment shouldn't be too big for him. So I should. I should. And I, like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, I'm okay with Porcello, my third or fourth guy out of the chute. Like, I feel I'm doing pretty good if that's what it is, except he's never won a postseason. I mean, I hear you. So, you just go back to the hard and fast. Their pitching's exactly the same.
It is exactly the same pitching staff. And I don't know that you win games 10-9 in the postseason. You can win one game that way, right? You can win one. You're not going to have sustained success in the postseason without dominant starting pitching somewhere in there.
Stu, what's your problem with the team?
This team smells like the early 2000 Moneyball Oakland A's.
Where do you come up with that?
Because they were a team that was built for the regular season, won a lot of games, won 3 out of 4 divisions, and then they got into the playoffs and they didn't have that it factor to win in the postseason. They're a team that was built for the regular season, unlike the 04 Red Sox, who had Schilling, 07 had Beckett. They had these guys who were postseason tested. And this team doesn't have anybody with any track record of success in the postseason.
Well,
they're all failures.
This is a tough show.
Well,
I'm
Michael, what are the standards here? Are the standards win your division and have a parade, or are they win a championship and have a party forever and a parade?
Let's grab Sean in Waltham. He joins us next line four there. Jimmy, pop him up. Sean in Waltham, go ahead. Sean, you got to go to a different zone. Call us back later. 617-779-0985. How about Phil in Rhode Island? Jimmy, let's pop him up next on line 3. Phil, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I hate it. How you doing? How's everything, okay?
Excellent. What do you got, Phil?
Hey, you know, I turned you guys on a little later, you know what I'm saying? But I saw you talking about, and I know everybody's a little worried. Listen. You guys are a little blind about the Sox. Hey, there's no money to spend. They're going to sell $7 million a room and this and that and the other thing. Listen, Cora's got him managed. I'm sure you guys have played.
Hey, Phil, I'm going to let you go because I think you've been enjoying the weekend. Don't you feel he's just continued it?
He's out in the back deck.
Nantucket weekend for him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's that time of year. No problem. Just I don't know if we can talk to you in that condition. Billy and Waltham on line 5. Let's try him. Go ahead, Billy. What do you got?
Hey, how's it going? So I heard the Red Sox the other day are looking to trade for Mike Moustakas, and I like the player. He's like a solid third baseman. You know what I mean? He's a lefty power bat. But I was thinking that doesn't really make much sense unless the Sox are looking to move on from Devers.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think they're trying to trade Devers for? I'm thinking it might be a pitcher.
Well, so let me stop you. There's only one name you should be thinking about. McCarthy, you brought up Moustakas in our email. What is up with that linkage to Moustakas?
It makes no sense unless, because they're not moving on from Devers for Moustakas. So if you put Moustakas at third base, if Devers is your DH, Martinez goes to the outfield, Jackie Bradley Jr. Goes.
What if you are moving Devers? What if you're moving? What if that's the ask from Baltimore and you want in on that? And that's what you're giving up, and so that's why you're interested in Moustakas.
You're not getting Machado. You're not getting Machado because other teams can offer more than Rafael Devers. Other teams can offer, the Brewers can offer how many, 3-4 prospects for Machado? You're offering one guy and that's it?
Okay, so
that's not going to get it done.
So then what was your original explanation for Moustakas?
I think they'd be looking to move on from Jackie Bradley Jr. and have Martinez play the outfield more. But because you're not giving up Devers for Moustakas. It's odd. It makes very little sense to me.
I just don't feel like that's a need.
It's not.
You know, unless you're trading a position player and then you need another bat, but I don't feel like that's a need. I don't even know, you know, with Rodriguez going down, I feel like starting pitching has to be a need now, but I still don't want to devote resources there because you've devoted so many resources there. You need bullpen arms. You need bullpen arms. That's what I think. I think Colin in Boston agrees with me. Jimmy, if you could pop him up, please, on line 6. Colin, you're up next with Felger and Maz. It's Marshall Hook in for Maz.
Yeah, Marshall, you got it all wrong. They're not going for Machado. They're going for Britton, and then they're going to re-sign him to make him the closer after Kimbrel leaves, and that's what Devers would get you, and that would shore up their bullpen. But honestly, I think you really only need one guy in that bullpen because I like what I've seen out of Brazier. And he's not like a rookie. He's been around, and Workman's coming around. So you can kind of have this seventh inning by committee, and then you get Britton, and then you're all set. But honestly, Felger, in terms of like the it factor, these guys have it. And you see it in their focus. They're not dancing around like clowns in the outfield. They're not like pranking Eckersley on Instagram posts or getting into fights with him on the flight. They're not throwing each other under the bus in like some weird hit batsman scenario like they do with the Orioles. I mean, that's why no one took them seriously last year, because of all that noise. They had a good record. They had the same staff, basically, except for, like, you know, the best power-hitting DH in baseball right now. But they basically were the same roster. But they were a bunch of clowns, and they acted like clowns. This year they seem focused. They're hitting with men on base. They're hitting grand slams and not just little plunk singles. They just look ready. They got, like, the eye of the tiger. They look ready to go.
Okay, eye of the tiger. Colin, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I don't mean to slow your roll there, but see, this is what I'm talking about, Hook. I mean, and he's not wrong.
No, and this is the thing.
They are exuding that. Cora has brought a different element to him. Everything he said was right. I just wonder, what does that mean 3 months from now?
And this ultimately is the thing. I don't have a beef with this team, right? They're doing everything right. They're winning games. I'm looking down the road. That's what I'm doing. I'm projecting. I see this team and I say, well, A, they're playing at a pace that's hard to sustain anyway. But B, there are places where they have problems. Their offense, it's fine. Even with the black hole of suck that is Jackie Bradley Jr. and whoever they have playing second base on any given night and whoever they have behind the plate. The fact that one third of their lineup does nothing offensively, obviously they've rallied from that because the first six guys are so good.
But I think
the pitching is the pitching.
The holes in the lineup, every team is a hole or two in the lineup.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's fine.
Pitching is the pitching. They have four holes in their rotation of five guys. So that's a problem.
Do you feel that's being a little strong?
Not after Eduardo Rodriguez went on the DL and not the way that Rick Porcello is pitching. Because now you've lost the one guy that I liked that I thought was consistent. We're all concerned about Porcello. And why is it? Why is it that he's losing? Or not even losing, but why is it that ERA has gone up? Home runs. What was his problem last year? Home runs. So are we reverting to what Rick Porcello was last year? And then...
Boy, I came in today saying I'm going to be the yeah, but guy. I don't need this show. Doesn't need a yeah, but guy. You all have him buried. You all have every
well,
single
tell
one
me
of
what
you.
I'm wrong about. Tell me
every single one of you has him buried.
You've got Chris Sale.
It's unbelievable.
And what in the starting rotation? What guy out of all of those guys? And yes, the Twitterati tell me that I'm just a black hole of negativity.
You are.
And I am just crapping all over
you
these
are.
700. But what in the rotation? This rotation right now, if the postseason began tomorrow, who would be your number two pitcher? Who? Tell me.
It's
tell
David
me,
Price.
Twitter people.
David Price.
Tell me the people that say
David
I
Price.
Suck. Who would be your number two pitcher? And is that a good thing? David Price? Yeah, because he's great in the postseason, so we'll feel really good about that. Rick Porcello, who gave up more home runs last year than I think any pitcher in decades, and he's starting to do that again. Eduardo Rodriguez, we probably won't see him till 2020. That's how long it takes him to bounce back from an injury. And then the cavalcade of people that you've got pitching out of the fifth spot, none of them are any good. None of them. So tell me, what am I wrong about when it comes to this starting rotation?
You are so negative. It's unbelievable. How'd that chair get more negative? First day in the new spot, and we've gone from bad to worse. Maz is gone, and it's gotten worse.
All right. You know what? You're right. Rick Porcello, he'll be fine. That'll be great.
Shush. Here, let's do an update. 90 seconds, no commercials. Right back to your phones.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios. Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston 98.5, the Sports Hub, Beasley Media Group Station.